This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
On
Joy 94.9.
That's my voice.
And we're back on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Happy 2017, woo-hoo! Everyone.
Hooray!
We made it.
But
it was an interesting year. That was Too Funky by George Michael. Speaking of some of the worst aspect of 2016. Man, it seemed like, you know, I think I heard you guys talking about this last week. Sorry, I missed that show, by the way.
We'll quiz you on it.
Oh, gosh.
Pop quiz.
I didn't have any reception. But, you know, it was interesting because it was like a lot of people like Bowie and Prince and George Michael were queer icons, like really huge icons who'd been huge in breaking down stigma and, you know, barriers for, like, you know, gender fluidity, for homosexuality, for bisexuality.
The main thing that I took from it was that they re-categorized what it meant to be a man in a lot of ways, you know, and stretched those boundaries and actually made it not so narrow in terms of masculinity and all that kind of stuff, which is what I really miss.
Bowie was like, you know, he was a sex icon and he ran around in a dress. It's great. It's fantastic. You know, Prince wore, like, more makeup than I usually do. And he just was, again, a sex god.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt.
And generally these artists, just by default, tend to be activists, whether they like it or not, because they're so public, they're so visible, and people pay attention to what they say. So,
well, George Michael was outed, though. That was a thing that happened in America when he was arrested for soliciting.
Yes. Mm.
And he actually, later on, I think, I remember watching an interview where he was on with Oprah. And, you know, Oprah was like, oh, are you worried? This, like, you know, in America, this will hurt your sales. He's like, look, I don't... I'm going to be blunt about this. I don't want homophobic people buying my records.
Nice response.
Yeah, it was just like, he's like, I don't actually care if they don't want my music anymore. Because if they don't want my music because of that, then they're not people I want as my fans.
Yeah.
And what a clip to come out with. I mean, he turned a public toilet into a disco.
Well, that's the thing. He got caught with, you know, lewd misconduct, they called it. And he wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
You know, he was just like, yeah, I did that because that's what gay men do sometimes.
That's what we do.
So, you know.
And also, and he was, and I think he also wrote this idea, you know, he was really against this idea of trying to become acceptable via straight, like, you know, by straight standards, by saying, like, you know, I'm a filthy fucker, and if people can't handle it, then they can't handle it. Excuse the language. But, you know, anyway, if you're a filthy fucker and you want to get in touch.
Yes, we're waiting for you.
Or if you just want to say hi, tell us what you've got planned for the new year, you can text us on 0427 569 569 949, or email us at onair@joy.org.au, or you can message us on the Facebook page, which is Triple Bypass on Joy. Yep. And also there's an app on iTunes, which you can just look up on Joy, and you can message us through that too, which is pretty cool. Yeah, we're back, and as we were saying, we made it through the year. Not everybody did, so I think it's important to firstly acknowledge that for everyone who did make it through the year, congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations, you did it. That's huge. Totally. Well done.
I guess one way to escape Donald Trump was to die.
Yeah. Man, like, that's happening this month, eh? Like, you know, every time he announces someone new from his cabinet, I just, like, feel my heart kind of just sink a little further. It's in my shoes now. Like, I've just been living there for a little while, and occasionally I pull it back up when I watch television. I'm like, see, look, things are okay. Let's watch Please Like Me. This is fun. See, this is nice. Oh, there's been, speaking of this, good television. So it's a great time for distractions.
It is.
I think, as we kind of, you know, it is important to not always focus, to, like, not fall into those really dark things that are happening, because there's a lot of it and it's not like it's going to go away. It's still going to be there.
Yes.
So, you know, just maybe give it a bit of space. Give yourself some space and make sure you take care of yourself this year. Pace yourself. You've got a lot of fighting to do, guys.
It's important for our mental health to do things that take us away from our acts of activism and challenging and fighting all this oppression as well.
It's exhausting.
It can be exhausting.
Yeah, it does take a toll on you. Let's not act, pretend it doesn't. It's called emotional labor when you're explaining something. Yeah. These things are things that do take energy and you need time to recharge like a battery.
Yeah, pets can be good.
Pets are great.
My cat saved my life every day.
My cat, actually, she hurt her paw recently and she had to get it shaved and it's hilarious. She's okay, but I have to, like, give her, like, some, like, anti-inflammatory, like, through a little, like, you know, just, like, it's a measuring syringe. So I've got to, like, you know, squirt into her mouth and she freaking hates it. And she gets so mad at me. Like, after she just, like, runs off and, like, you know, kind of looks at me like, how dare you? How could you do this to me? It's like, but don't you feel better? Oh, I won't admit it. And because she's got, and she's really, like, self-conscious of the fact that one of her paws is bald. I feel like.
How do you know she's self-conscious?
Oh, no, cats definitely get embarrassed. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, they yeah. Totally, like, she once fell into our fish pond and then jumped out and then, like, you know, it was just like nothing happened.
Oh.
This is like, it's, I didn't do that. No, it's fine. Like, you know, just kind of like licking herself, like literally nothing had happened.
Yeah.
And like kind of looking around wildly to make sure no one had seen her shame, but we saw.
I've got a fluffy cat. Like a very fluffy cat, Persephone, who one year I had to cut the whole pile of, she got like burrs stuck on her fur because she was rolling around under the house and came out with all these burrs. She's usually a very clean animal, but this time they're all clumped. So I had to kind of shave a little patch inside of her and she would not go outside. She was just like, nah.
Wow.
They will
cats
not
see me like
this. They will not see me like this.
I have more in common with cats than I thought.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I need to know more cats.
I think you do.
I think, you know, I think I was actually reading this thing, you know, the difference between cat people and dog people, and like, you know, cat people are like, oh, dogs are fine. And dog people are like, cats are the worst. They're so unfriendly. A cat killed my father.
Yeah.
They do plan to murder you often, I think. They just
They've
there
got really good murder stares. Yeah.
They jump in your face when you're sleeping. That happened to me
I'm
once.
Sorry, dogs do that.
Dogs do that.
Like, let's not pretend that dogs don't jump on people because they are the grandmasters of that.
I moved into a house and my cat Sappho decided that she wanted to climb my wrought iron bed stand you know, that's in the back of your bed. I can talk today. And so she decided to climb that and it's all curly and whatnot. And then she fell off onto my face.
Well, it's quite a skill to stay on there.
She's a special girl. But I had this massive scar across my nose, which has only kind of just faded within the last 6 months.
Take that.
Yeah. I was very angry with her. And the funny thing was, I was very angry with her, so I picked her up and shoved her outside. And then for like a week afterwards, she was kind of like very mollified.
Right, the dynamic.
See, I once, like, you know, did that to my dog when he'd try to run away. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pat you and stuff like that. So he left a dead rat on the bed for me.
Oh.
Yeah. I once actually got a dead bird for Valentine's Day. I was really amazed by the timing. Like, I was just like, did you guys know? Did you know mummy was lonely?
I can trump all of that. When I have a perpetual love affair with cake. And my cat, when I was a child, went next door and hunted down and killed a wild piece of chocolate cake. I kid you not. She brings it back, meows like a, you know, meow, 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 as they do. And I open the door and she's sitting there proudly displaying this wild piece of chocolate cake that she killed and brought to me. And I was like, you know me so well.
I was someone just sitting there with a plate of cake and this cat just streams out, grabs it in its paws, like kicks at it a few times and just runs away with it. Mine now.
Pretty much. I've got this for my mom.
My cat once put a bird in my bathtub for me. I think I've mentioned this before. It was still alive, but it couldn't fly. And she kind of like, you know, and
such trust from that bird.
It couldn't fly. She'd bitten its leg off. And like, the thing is, I heard screaming and I thought it was a child. And then I go in and it's actually coming from my bathroom. And I go in there and the cat's sitting on the side of the bath. God. And there's a bird sitting in the bath. She's like, look, Mom, look what I got you. And then I was like, just staring at it. She's like, no, you got to go in and get it. So she went in and like was showing me. I was just like, like it was very much like, you know, she tried to give this to me, and it was just like, at least it's a wiped down surface. Well, like, you know, it was as far as convenience goes.
Here was me thinking that it was a bath actually full of water, and here's this lame bird that's kind of splashing around.
No,
and this cat going, mom, check it out.
It was just trapped in the bottom of the bath.
I hope it with a box of favorites for a gift, pets or non pets.
They're not bad. Look, we're going to go to a break and then we're going to be playing Miserable America, which is by Kevin Abstract, a pretty amazing bisexual artist that I found recently. But yeah, we'll be back soon. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass.
You're on Joy.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee and I'm proud to be heard on Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
And we're back.
We are.
On Joy 94.9.
I'm Christina.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby. And this is Triple Bypass, Joy's bisexuality program. Bye-byes, four-byes, and everyone else.
Yes.
We're inclusive like that.
The only bi radio station, radio show in Australia.
True. Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's might be the only one in the Southern Hemisphere.
I would say so.
I mean, Taiwan's getting there. But I'm just not sure there's going to be a whole lot coming out of China and India at the moment.
No, we cover a lot of territory.
Yeah.
I was showing off one of my Christmas presents during that song there. So I thought we could talk about some highlights from Christmas. I really enjoy presents. I do enjoy, I think Anthony and I talked about this before Christmas. I do enjoy being able to like find something that I know someone will like that they would not have thought to buy for themselves.
Yeah.
And it takes time, which is why I only like buying a few presents for a few people. I would not want to do it en masse. But I got a pretty good haul this year.
That requires a lot of thoughtfulness, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To buy something for someone that you know they would like that they wouldn't buy for themselves.
Yeah, no, it definitely involves having to put yourself in other people's position. My dad hates buying presents.
Yeah, I don't like buying presents either.
Yeah. I think, it's something that... I think, we all have different parts of our brains that are particularly practiced and some that aren't. And there are things that, I'm not thoughtful in a lot of other ways. But for some reason, when it comes to material thoughtfulness, I'm pretty good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got a good stash this year. Actually, I got a good haul, considering that my wife and I decided, because we're trying to save to move house and go to New Zealand and all this kind of stuff, that we weren't going to give presents. So we got off to my dad's place, and my brother is over from New Zealand, and suddenly we got a whole pile of presents that we were like, here's some chocolate.
Yeah, right.
And all these really good, like, body products and awesome stuff. And I was kind of like, okay, I feel like the shittest person ever, but that's okay, because I gave you chocolate. Because it was cheap.
No,
chocolate is always good. Also, we are speaking of always good. It's always good to get a message, and we just got one in. So someone's messaged to say hi again, a bit late to the party because I was with the parents and couldn't sneak away. Excited for New Year. Hell yeah.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Heck yeah.
We're excited.
Yeah, let us know who you are when you message in, because otherwise we don't know who you are. And
well,
we
don't need to.
Well, you don't need to, but we like to say hi.
To you.
To you. Yeah. If you would like to come in and say hi, you can on 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. Or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au. Or you can jump on our Facebook page.
They can.
You're going to say something very exciting.
No. I was just coming in. I was just going to ask Ruby because you got a very thoughtful present this year and very connected to something that we all have in common.
It was. So my brother got me this book, which was Buy Notes for a Bisexual Revolution. Yeah. So I have to admit, I thought that was pretty well done. Like, I am.
It hasn't started?
It's underway. Again, we meet every second month under the full moon. We've talked about this, Anthony.
He always forgets because he doesn't read.
He needs to polish up on the lunar calendar. So this is a book by Shiri Esnia. And so she's an activist from Israel who kind of got into activism a lot with being an activist about the occupation of Palestine. And she basically was talking about how bisexuality had always been a part of her, and she hadn't considered being a bisexual, the fact that her activism could be completely bisexual related as well. And it's dense. It's a pretty academic book, but it's pretty exciting.
And what's it called again?
Buy Notes for a Bisexual Revolution.
That's right. They say they want a revolution.
We are going to change the world.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be hard for some people to fathom to think of a bisexual revolution when bisexual is not even a thing, right?
I know. How could there be an entire book on something that doesn't exist? And it's interesting because, she talks about the fact that something that society tries so hard to pretend doesn't exist despite all evidence to the contrary is revolutionary in nature.
Yes. Mm.
I think that's what, I've only read the first chapter and a half because it is very dense in theory and everything. But there is something that she does talk about, how bisexuality it's a barrier blurrer, and it breaks down barriers by the very nature of existing. So of course people don't want it to exist. Mm. Barriers make people feel very safe when they're on the right side of them.
Oh yeah, if I know how I can label you and categorize you and box I can put you in, then I'm a lot better about my life.
I mean, and sometimes you can see it when you come out to someone as bisexual within the queer community and outside of it, and you know, when you say it's a barrier breaker, sometimes it takes people a second to try and figure out what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when they have to try to sort of readjust their thinking and their learning and their understanding of sexuality.
It's also amazing just to read a book with so much about bisexual history, because I did not know much about it, you know, we've been around for a while and we've been doing big stuff for a while. And one of the things I found, like there's a lot of definitions for bisexuality, whichever one feels most comfortable for you is what you should go with. But this was one that the author called her favorite, and I can see why. And this was by the bisexual advocate, Robin Orks. And she said, "I call myself bisexual because I acknowledge that I have in myself the potential to be attracted romantically and or sexually to people of more than one sex and or gender, not necessarily at the same time, not necessarily in the same way, and not necessarily to the same degree." I think this is by far the broadest and most enabling definition I'd ever actually heard, and it sounded right.
I reckon it covers it, all of us in the bi community, because we are so diverse within the B as we are between the LGBTI.
Well, that's it. We were discussing before the show that bisexual, the term, is such an umbrella term for a whole pile of other non-monosexual desires.
You know, it's men who identify as straight and have sex with men. Mm. It's, you know, it's people who consider themselves, pansexual or polygamous. It's anything that kind of...
Polyamorous.
Sorry, polygamy is the illegal definition.
Yes.
I'm getting there. I'm working on myself. and it's really interesting because she points out, like, you know, there's this, at the very beginning, she points out some of the biggest, you know, things that are said about bisexuality. You know, it doesn't exist, and that bisexuals are by nature promiscuous, and our natural responses, which are generally, well, I'm not like that, or, you know, no, it's so far, like, you know, try to make us more acceptable.
Mm.
And I was thinking of, you know, George Michael and this idea of, you know, of trying to define ourselves by other people's boundaries, what makes them comfortable.
Mm.
And that bisexuality in itself will never be comfortable with people, because it is by its nature, again, saying that a lot of the things that you've grown up being told are, like, absolute or not, and we're living proof of that.
Yeah.
So this idea of, you know, when someone says, oh, well, bisexuals are either gay or straight and just pretending, it's like, well, that's because this idea of sexuality being changeable and actually being able to shift and being fluid goes against, again, what we've been told forever.
Mm.
And bisexuals being promiscuous, again, why is there so much shame associated with having sex with people?
Yeah.
Why is there so much shame in being non-monogamous in the first place? Never mind why that's... And so all these things that are kind of heaped on bisexuality and people who fall under the bisexual umbrella term, you know, and like how they're all things that our natural instinct is to say that's not true. And what we can do instead is to say, why does it bother you?
Yeah. Yeah, because in some cases it is true. In some cases there are bisexual people who like to have a lot of sex with a lot of different people. More power to them. I think it's fabulous. There are also bisexual people out there who are polyamorous. There are bisexual people out there who do cheat on their partners, because cheating on your partner is a really human thing to do.
Yes.
It's not, you know, restricted to one letter.
I think, as we keep saying, anyone can be an arsehole, guys.
Exactly. Yeah. It's nothing to do with your sexuality.
And I think that's the kind of explaining that we often find ourselves going into. And I like that, because what the author in that book suggests is that we hand the tension back. We don't take on the tension of trying to sort of make it okay for them. We just hand it back to them, saying, why is that not okay with you?
It's actually really... I belong to this lesbian group online, and one of the comments was, oh, I don't think I could ever date a bisexual.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, I know, right? And the little part of me died inside, as it always does when I hear that. But also, I refrained from engaging because I didn't quite know how to engage it, because my first thought was like, why is that? What do you think we do? Who do you think you are? We are. Horns start growing in my head and fire burns from my lungs. But that's great, is to actually put it on and go, what's...
Yeah, why?
Why? Why?
And, like, and a part of it can be, you know, I think one of the things I hear was like, well, you know, I don't want to be where a penis has been. It's like, do you really believe that a woman is made lesser by having sex with a man? Because that's not very feminist of you, because a lot of women choose to have sex with men.
And you know what? We wash after sex. So even if there has been a penis inside
and
of
before,
us.
And before, excuse me.
And before, exactly.
And just generally, we wash.
I mean, every day I tend to. Yeah.
Especially with things that involve a high level of fluid.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. We have to go to our next break. And the next song that's coming up is one I hope you guys also like, which is called LGBT by an amazing rapper from the States called Cupcake.
Cupcake. I want Cupcake.
You and your cake addiction. We've got to stop.
I know.
Talked about this. No, have as much as you want. Anyway, we'll be back soon.
On Triple Bypass,
you're on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You certainly can. You're back on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Hey.
Hey.
I'm Christina.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby. And that song was LGBT by Cupcake. That's cake with two Ks.
Yeah, that was singing it, man.
That
man.
Was it. I found that, I think, I found that on my Tumblr today. I was just like, this is amazing. How did this fly under the radar?
Yeah.
This is like one of the best songs I've heard all year.
It's a new anthem.
Well, you know, it all year, anthem. It's only 2 days. Yeah.
Yep.
Right up there with Getting By.
Yeah. I love that song.
I do. It's so clever.
We've discovered that our message from before was from the youth.
Our youngin.
That messaged in last week about being bi-curious, I guess,
yeah.
say, and having a little bit of fear about coming out to their parents. Thank you so much for tuning back in again.
Yes, thanks, youngin.
It actually makes us feel really, really good that we are reaching people who are struggling with this and that giving you a chance to be part of this community.
Part of the conversation
and knowing that you're not alone, and we'll keep saying it to you, youngin, you're not alone, sweetheart.
Definitely not.
We're always here for you, lovey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to get in touch as well, you can definitely do that.
You totes can. Anthony will tell you how.
You can do it on 0427-JOY949 or you feel free to send us an email onair@joy.org.au. So thanks, youngin, for texting in. And
that's what we're calling you from here on in, I hope you realise.
Yeah.
Our youngin.
Our youngin.
And we'll hear from you every week from now on, so thanks for that.
You're locked in now. It's like a contract.
You're part of the family.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you guys have talked about it last week, but yeah, coming out to your parents is always a real nervous thing. Even when you know your parents are accepting, it can still just be like that fear of just like even a slight pause when you tell them, like of any kind of a... Well, I didn't want that. It's always just, it's terrifying. But I think that's a part of it. Like, you know, as I hope you're finding out, your parents are only one family. You've got a whole bunch of us.
Yeah.
But parental rejection is quite scary.
It is.
And I think that's why it's important always to have yourself fairly established with some supports when you're going to be feeling like you're taking those risks to come out to family members.
And also remember that they sometimes do come around.
Yeah.
So even if they've been particularly negative towards you or towards the LGBT community, that's okay. Sometimes they just need a little bit of a nudge in the right direction.
My parents were very... have always been very supportive. My brother came out, but it did take my brother and my mum a few years to get their heads around bisexuality. Mm. Obviously, from this wonderful book, the Buy Notes for a Bisexual Revolution that my brother got me for Christmas, he's got there.
Good on you, bro.
Or at least he realises that awesome I don't plan on changing it anytime soon.
Wow. If it's a phase, it's been going on for like 20 years for me, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Actually, the book does address this idea of it being a phase and this idea of like, why is it bad that your sexuality can change? Like, and of course, like, you know, this idea of like, you know, you may at points in your life be attracted to different people and different genders in different levels and different ways, and that might change. That doesn't mean anything about it is illegitimate.
That's right. I prefer for people, if they are questioning their sexuality and they find themselves attracted to more than one gender, that's great. But if you're not comfortable coming out as bisexual, maybe say you're questioning. Because questioning's just as valid.
Bi-curious works too.
Bi-curious is also really cool.
Yeah. I think that, you know, when you have a partner of one particular gender, then people get used to you in that relationship. And when that changes and you're perhaps with someone of another particular gender, you know, it's just there is an adjustment even for the bi person. I know for me personally, there's an adjustment. There's this kind of you prepare this script in your head about how you're going to explain this and what you're going to say, how you're going to have to unlearn all the learnings you got. You help them to get to that point. You've got to have to, you know, start again in a different way.
Well, I found, within my group of friends, friends when I started going out with Chrissy, like, they all knew that I was queer. They all knew that I was bisexual because I was pretty open about it. But even so, when I started going out with her, the resistance to it was kind of couched. And, oh, we're just making sure that you're okay. It's like, I'm in my late 30s, guys. I'm pretty okay with the decisions that I make at this point in my
life. Just looking out for you.
Yeah.
Loving it. Thank you. But also trust, you know? Just a little bit of trust would be great.
I had a few guy friends who, when I was in a relationship with a woman, kind of were just like, we feel like you're being unfair on guys.
What?
And I think it was just interesting because, like, you know, I'd been saying I was bisexual for a while at that point, and I hadn't, you know, dated a woman since I was 16. Mm. But, yeah, it was just the thing, like, oh, and I think it's because they thought it was political, or they wanted it to be political. They're just like, oh, we think, like, you know, you're doing this because you're being unfair and making generalizations about men. I'm like, I just happen to be in love with a person who's a woman.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually not about guys at all. It's actually just about her and me.
You know how it's funny how some men just seem to take everything and make it about them?
Oh, yeah. we do that. We do.
It's called male privilege, Christina. My God.
The world does that, you know. So it's kind of like a learned thing. It is, can be weird just to realize that, you know, half the time there's just that barrier of just, like, you know, being actually like, did you know you're doing that? No, not at all. Okay.
You're doing that.
That's exactly what's happening.
Just letting you know that that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think, you know, and people talk about in the community about, like, about, you know, by even, you know, people in the queer community talking, like, or the LGBTQI community talking about whether or not bisexuality exists. It's like, well, it's really.
It's still there.
Well, that whole Boy George tweet that you told me about today.
Yeah. So speaking again of the late and great George Michael, his partner, it seemed that his Twitter account was hacked and someone was posting something saying that George Michael had killed himself. Mm. And so Boy George tweeted, "Lol, saying I'm hacked is like saying I'm bisexual or I'm sniffing because I have allergies." Mm. And one of his fans was like, "That's actually kind of offensive. I'm bisexual. That's pretty biphobic of you." And he's like, "Well, yeah, I am biphobic. That's cool. I like bisexuals. I've got a bicycle." And it was just
so,
like,
so antagonistic.
He just kept going.
Why?
This is the problem, yeah.
And it's interesting because I was also hearing from one of our other Joy presenters, Sonia, who does Broad, the feminist show, that he was in a monogamous relationship with women for 2 years.
Yeah, I'd always thought that he had identified as bisexual.
But he was saying bisexuality is like, it just means they're gay. And it was just kind of
it's just a thing that we say.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, and maybe he does identify, obviously he identifies as gay now.
Mm.
Now. Mm. Yes. But this idea that because he has had his sexuality change or whatever, and that must be the universal experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, you're right, Anthony, the antagonism, like, why do you need to go after the community? Like, what bothers you so much us? Like, you know, and there's a whole number of things. I found an article on Everyday Feminism, which I do read every day. It is shocking, I know.
I'm a weekend feminist. I don't read it every day.
there's a blog for that too.
Oh, cool.
and it was basically about lies you're told when you come out as being bisexual. So I thought, the first one, shocker, is you're just confused.
We're going to cringe a lot in the next few minutes, aren't we?
So, yeah. Ruby said to us beforehand, she goes, I'm not going to read these out to you beforehand. I'm going to read them out on air.
Well, Youngin, if you're still listening, brace yourself.
Yeah, because you'll get this.
But also you'll get that it is very much a universal experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can give you some building blocks. And the idea is, of course, that the problem with being just confused is that the assumption that everyone is straight, and then if you're not straight, you're gay.
Mm.
The idea of that being any shades in between. Anyway, obviously not, because Christina and Anthony have been identifying this way for a while.
Yep.
I've been identifying this way for about 10 years now.
Yep.
Haven't really changed.
Nope.
If I've been confused, I'm stayed confused, and I like it that way.
Yeah. Confusion now hath made his masterpiece.
Number two is that you're immoral.
This one gets me in the crank hole, I must admit.
Right, this one's true for me, but for other reasons other than bi.
Yeah, look, there are shades of morality in all of us. That is for sure. And this is actually, I was realizing, the article talks about an advice columnist in Dear Prudence recently advised a married bisexual woman to keep her orientation private, treating bisexuality like a fetish that would only make her loved one uncomfortable. And so it's this idea that basically saying that you should be ashamed of that and keep it to yourself.
I have noticed that there is a little bit of a fetishization of bisexuality.
A little bit?
Well, you know.
Sorry.
I'm trying to be, what's that word?
Yeah.
Moderate?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, there's a lot of fetishization of bisexuality within both communities, the straight community and the LGBTI community.
It happens with women a lot. The idea of bisexual women kind of very much objectified in quite a sexual way. Like, we've talked about dating before. One time I briefly went on Tinder for a little while, and some guy, and I have on my profile that I'm bisexual, and some guy's like, "You're bi? That's hot." And I was just like, so why do you think, so you're not saying I'm hot, you're saying that my sexuality is hot. Mm. And if you think it's hot, you're already thinking of the fact that I'm guessing me having sex with a woman, probably with you being able to be involved. Mm. And I think that's what a lot of women have to deal with. Yeah. I believe that, you know, there's also a lot of fetishization of bisexual men.
Oh, totally.
But I think with women, it's become like, again, like the instant thing is threesomes. I've had people, I've had close friends and people I don't know ask me for threesomes. So young, and you might get a few offers thrown your way.
Yes. And look, if you want to do the threesome, fantastic. That's great.
But you're not obligated to.
Have to.
Yes.
You're not obligated to.
It doesn't give you group membership, does it?
No, not particularly. And look, Anthony and I, not together, have both had threesomes, not together, because we're friends.
Me thinks thou dost protest too much.
Do you remember that time back in 1974?
Oh, I remember.
Before we were born.
So the number three is you have to answer all these invasive questions to prove you're bisexual. Oh. So, you know, and those questions are like, you know, how many women have you dated? How many men have you dated? Like, which do you like more?
I still feel the need to have to justify the fact that I've had sex with more men than I have with women.
Mm.
Like, and why I say that I'm more gay than straight to be, you know, use a very, very kind of oblique term. You know, well, but you've had sex with heaps of men. It's like, yeah. Half of them I was paid for, and the other half was because I could. So
it's
even,
like being cross-examined, doesn't it? Like, by saying bisexual is not enough, we have to come up with evidence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do you want me to actually show you photos of all the women that I've slept with?
Because I'm not gonna.
Because you're dreaming.
It's actually, it reminds me a bit of it's a little less of a problem now, but when I was younger and being a girl is into video games, and that guys will be like, what video games do you play? Well, what level does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and like they do that quiz to make sure you're not faking.
Right.
Like, and so again, I think this idea that, you know, when I came out as bisexual, everyone's like, oh, everyone says they're bisexual. Like, you know, you've got to prove it. I think it's definitely a thing, because this idea that attaching that label to yourself, you do it to make yourself more interesting.
My thing is to say to people, everyone says they're bisexual. Are you bisexual? Have you ever said it?
No.
Then how can everyone in the entire world, do you know everyone in the entire world?
Yeah.
And have they all come out to you, have they? You're very lucky.
And is it level of arrogance from the questioner to expect all those answers?
Yeah, and then they get antagonistic K coming back at them, just going, look, bitch.
Well, I think that, you know, we see that everywhere. Like, we were talking a little while ago about, you know, Tilda Swinton and Margaret Cho having a bit of a fight. And that was because, like, you know, Tilda Swinton had emailed Margaret Cho out of nowhere and asked her all of these questions about the fact that she was playing a character that was traditionally from Tibet and that she was a white woman.
Right.
And, like, you know, everyone was just like, you know, and Margaret Cho later on said to be like, you know, oh, we had a fight. She was kind of, you know, I hated it. And in the emails, and Tilda was like, I'm just going to release the emails because it shows that I was perfectly polite. It's like, yeah, but you were expecting her, a woman you did not know, to spend her time answering all these questions.
Yeah.
And number four, this is just a phase.
I love that one because it's just I just love it because it sounds ridiculous.
It's just a phase. It's kind of like, you know,
it's so vague.
When you go through the emo or the punk thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm going through my bisexual stage, which means I wear a hell of a lot of pink, purple and blue.
Yeah.
And I like unicorns.
Yeah.
I do like unicorns.
I love unicorns.
They're fantastic.
They are the international symbol for bisexuality in my eyes.
They're also the national animal of Scotland, which makes me really jealous.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Also, we've got another message from our youngin'.
From youngin'.
We're not going to read all of that stuff, man, because it does seem like, you know, unless, like, you can let us know if you want to or not, but I'm not sure if that's everything you want to be read out. But firstly, yeah, there are definitely a lot of reasons people choose, like kids can choose not to come out. And that's totally fine.
That's cool too, yeah.
That's actually okay, as long as you've got people you can talk to. And then one of them was like, you guys are basically my diary. You've got a hell of an interesting mind then, buddy.
Wow, yeah.
We can be your inner voices. I like the idea of that. Like, what was that movie with the little things that were the emotion? Like, Inside Out?
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie, Anthony?
No, I'm not sure.
Apparently Anthony doesn't watch movies either.
It might have been during my movie watching phase. I'm not sure. Well, I'm a bit confused.
It's so immoral to watch that many movies, one after the other.
Well, we're going to go back to this amazing list of shit people say when you're bisexual after these messages. And another song, this one by Prince, Raspberry Beret.
Yes.
What a classic. Prince. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
This is me, Melissa Etheridge. Keep Joy out loud and proud.
Welcome back to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
I love that song.
I love that song too. I miss you, Prince, with every part of my being.
I spy with my Vista Eye something beginning with T.
There we go.
Well, there we go.
T for
terrific.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Well,
pretty terrific. Thanks for the messages for everyone who's listening. We've gone as far as, country, Victoria, and even Queensland.
Queensland. We've got a message from Mark from Brisbane who was like, dudes, you're awesome. Understand what it is. 100% gay guy, but totally into bi people.
Yeah, you're feeling this, Mark. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and like talks about, you know, even within like the ways that gay men can present themselves, there can be stigma around that as well. Which, you know, unfortunately, that's just because we live in a pretty weird world with some pretty set rules that we've been told for a long time the only way to go. And bisexuals kind of, by our very existence, get to say, actually, that's all kind of a load of bull, isn't it?
Yeah,
pretty much. What a load of nonsense. But speaking of, let's get back to the
last. I just want to say one thing that Mark said. Mm-hmm. He said that it's not a fetish even wearing a skirt or a dress as a gender fluid guy.
Totally.
I completely agree with that. I actually really dig even a non-gender fluid guy wearing a skirt or a dress.
They're really comfortable. Like, you know, a lot of them, like, you know, it's freeing. There's like, it's a bit of breeze. Just kind
unless
of
you get chub rub like I do, and then you've just got this whole, like, chafing thing going on.
Well, a fetish is a whole different thing, though, to the way you identify and how you express that identity in your day-to-day life.
Well, funnily enough, there is a conjecture that fetishization comes from not being able to express publicly or openly the things that, you know, that you find secret. So, for example, you know, guys who like to dress in women's clothing has been fetishized over the years because it has not seemed to be acceptable, even though guys who dress in women's clothing aren't actually, it's not a fetish for them, it's just because they feel like wearing a dress.
And sometimes
on a very general scale.
That taboo sort of ness, I guess, of fetish. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be pissed on every day, but hey, once in a while.
Look, it's interesting.
I miss you, Anthony.
Well, yeah, and of course, like, you know, this idea, and one of the things that can frustrate me is that the queer community can kind of, we label we're all fetishists, and that, you know, being queer itself is a fetish, and like, you know, you get the point where, like, you know, some people will want to group in other things, like a common one is bestiality, because, you know, because there's this idea that once you've decided to be anything but, you know, a monogamous in a heterosexual relationship, everything you're doing is taboo, and therefore is some kinky choice that you're making. And we've managed to get past a lot of that. Though, of course, look, you know, kinksters out there, as long as everyone's consenting and adult, that's all fine too.
Cool.
But speaking of kinky, one of the things else is about bisexuals when you come out is that you're just being greedy.
I don't understand that. Just being greedy.
Yeah, I'd like to know what they mean by greedy. What's the definition they're using around greedy? Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, you know, we're the fox that steals from both the chicken coops.
Ah.
Because, you know, we dip into both pools without being committed to either.
Right. So we're, okay, I get that.
So, yeah.
That's totally, like, inaccurate.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The flip side is being non-discriminatory. You know, well, we go to both sides of the...
It's kind of like if someone puts out like a whole array of different kinds of chocolate and someone's like, well, I only like white chocolate. And someone's like, well, I only like dark chocolate. And you're like, well, I like both. You're not being greedy for pointing out that you could have either and be happy.
Yes.
Like, it's not greedy. You're just saying, well, actually, I think they're all pretty great.
Yeah.
Some of them I like more than others. Not a huge fan of, I don't know, nougat. I am. I like all kinds of chocolate. I couldn't think of a chocolate I didn't like. So I was like just panicking. Oh, God.
Could that perhaps be a hint of envy when they call us greedy?
It's total envy.
Yeah.
It's total envy. Especially, I mean, I've had this from women who, I can't get a date, so why should you? I've actually had that said to me before, that like I'm somehow diminishing their dating possibilities by being able to date anyone that I want.
Well, I think, well, the idea
newsflash, I can't date anyone that I want because they don't always find me attractive.
And also just fact-wise, there are less women who like women than there are women who like men. by a large percentage, so there's actually, and well, that's one of the things, bisexual women, like, you know, people get, you know, you might get, like, you know, being told, oh, well, you've dated more guys. It's like, well, yeah, because statistically, I'm more likely to run into a guy who is open to dating me than I am to run into a girl who's open to dating with me.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, that's just kind
maths.
Of
a... It's just maths.
It's just maths. It's
I've never been good with
science.
Numbers. Never been good with numbers.
Science.
I'm an artist, okay?
And the other one is you can't be faithful in relationships. We've already touched on this one, so we don't need to go too much further into it. Anyone can cheat. Anyone can be faithful. If you treat your partner like they can't just because of their sexuality, you're the asshole.
You suck.
Mm-hmm. And they deserve better. But you're dating one gender. That makes you straight or gay. And so I guess, like, you know, I think that this myth that your sexual orientation depends on who you're dating is really prevalent, and I see myself falling for it sometimes. Like, if I see two women holding hands, I think they're lesbians. I don't think, what if they're bisexual?
Yeah.
And if I see a man and a woman kissing, I assume they're straight. You know, it's just kind of a, I don't know.
It's what's been normalised.
Exactly.
Well, we've got a couple, I say we, my wife and I have a couple who are friends of ours. They're both bisexual. And they're in a committed relationship and they've just both had a baby, which is awesome. But I must admit that when I'm trying to explain them, I immediately go, I have this lesbian couple friend.
Yes.
So they're not lesbians. They're actually both bisexual, but they're two women in a relationship with each other, but their bisexuality is kind of irrelevant, but I still feel like I have to explain to you.
Yeah. The explanation.
It's never simple. Eight is you're transphobic because some people think that because the bi and bisexual stands for binary. And so if you're only into men or women, then you're not attracted to transgender people. Well, firstly, you're assuming that a trans man isn't a man. So transphobic isn't a woman. So, and also, we've all talked about the fact that we've all had experiences of attraction to non-binary people.
Yeah, totes.
As the definition I read out before from my amazing book, By Notes for Bisexual Revolution, which I got for Christmas, which I'm reading, you know, I can date people. It's people like myself or like people of my gender and people who are not of my gender. It's a big old umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Inclusiveness.
Yeah.
That's like you were saying before, it's non-discriminatory. We are actually inclusive of all types.
Yeah.
And we always have been. That was the other thing I really liked learning about when I was doing, learning about the history was that the bisexual community has actually always had a history of being radically inclusive at times where the L and the G weren't necessarily. So go us.
Yeah, we rock.
Yeah.
And the final bit, the final one is you'll get silence. So you'll get nothing. And I think, you know, that's something that I think is the more common experience, just silent, like, you know, kind of just dampen it down. Just don't talk about it and it will go away.
I've been told that so many times. You don't need to tell everyone you're bisexual, okay? I can do what I want. Thanks.
But it's like, you know, people like how like celebrities are labeled as, you know, Freddie Mercury is a gay icon.
Yeah.
He was bisexual, you know. Virginia Woolf was bisexual. She was married to a man, but she was bisexual. Mm-hmm. And like, I think, yeah, it's that, I think, and we were looking at that study a while ago that showed that while attitudes towards gay and lesbian people have gotten more positive, they've remained completely neutral or ambivalent towards bisexuals. Like, it's neither strongly disapprove or approve, just
just whatevs, man.
Whatevs.
Yeah.
Well, it's look, that being said, we're not particularly silent. You may have noticed.
No,
that's why we have a radio show now.
That's right.
And I did put up on Facebook beforehand, you think you couldn't date a bisexual. Well, I hope that we have proven to you that bisexual people are lovely to date.
Most of us, not all of us.
Not all of us, no. But the people in this room are.
But mostly, mostly we are.
Mostly we are.
That's true.
That's maths too. It's just we are.
Three out of three being just 100%, so clearly they're all great.
But no, if you're not going to date someone, don't date them because you don't like them, not because you think that their bisexuality is going to stand in the way of you being happy.
But if you do think that, don't date them because
then you're an ass.
Yeah, they need to date someone who's not going to treat them like that.
Yeah.
Firstly, Al Youngin has called to say it's cool to share. You're right. It is very cool to share.
It's great to share.
There's a lot of strength in community and finding out that that what you're feeling and what you've gone through is almost always as someone who's been right there with you.
Yeah. Totally. And this is our bi community. We're on every Tuesday night at 10 PM. So tune in again next week. We'll be back with you.
Thank you for joining us this week. This was Triple Bypass.
You're on Joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.